You are listening to Mucha Radio. We document and authentic stories from diverse voices across Canada. Mucha Radio is building a living archive of resilience, culture, and transformation. Our guest is Muzu Taylor-Lewis, the president and CEO of Food for the Hungry Canada. She joined Food for the Hungry Canada after over 20 years in the nonprofit and public sectors. In addition to leadership roles, sectors, organization, Muzu has served as chair of the Humanitarian Coalition Management and Fundraising Committee, the Editorial Advisory Committee of the Philanthropist Journal, and as co-chair of the Task Force on Accountability for Cooperation Canada's Anti-Racist Cooperation Initiative. In 2025, Muzu joined the Board of Cooperation Canada and currently serves as the chair of the Membership Committee. Muzu lives with her family in Aurora, Ontario. So, to begin this interview, could you introduce yourself?
I am a Sierra Leonean Canadian. As it said before, I live in Aurora with my family. I grew up internationally across different parts of the world. I was born in Alberta. My family left before my first memories, and I grew up in Europe. Went to high school in Sierra Leone, and returned to Canada for university. And I've been here ever since. So my whole adult life has been in Canada, in different parts and different cities.
So we are more than excited to have Muzu at our Impact Show host. As I mentioned, the quick biography there, you are the president and CEO of Food for Hungry Canada. What is Food for Hunger's impact?
We've been around for 30 years. I joined 3 years ago. So it is really hard to quantify the complete impact of Food for the Hungry Canada. But basically, our purpose is to embolden communities on their pathways to richer, more resilient, and more hopeful futures. And what we mean by that is that we work to come alongside communities, and especially invest in leadership, so that communities that have been sort of stuck in a cycle of poverty are able to break that cycle and start moving towards holistic development through a work that encompasses education, leadership development, water access. We ensure that there's agricultural training, for example, and entrepreneurship training for youth is something that we've done. But it all starts with listening to the needs of the community, listening to the leaders and what they understand their needs to be, and then working with them to break that cycle, like I said. And as of this year, 2026, Food for the Hungry Canada has worked in these 10-year partnerships. So our partnerships are 10 years. And right from the start, looking to ensure that whatever we do, the community can continue after we leave. So sustainable work. And as of 2025, the end of 2025, we had completed partnerships in 134 communities around the world. So when we think about our impact, I think that is the best way to describe that 134 communities around the world in 9 or 10 countries have been able to break the cycle of poverty.
My next question was about how could we break the cycle of poverty in the world, and I think you've answered that question brilliantly. And you mentioned words like social work and community. And also you mentioned countries. And I was wondering, in which countries does your organization operate?
Yeah, currently we are starting partnerships in a number of countries, in Guatemala, in Uganda, Burundi, Rwanda is one that we just wrapped up. So let me say that again. In Guatemala, Uganda, Burundi, Kenya, India, Cambodia, and Bangladesh. In the past, we've also been in Rwanda, in Ethiopia, in Peru, and in Haiti. And the Philippines, I believe. So that's 30 years history I'm trying to remember.
Do you mind sharing with us your experience in visiting Burundi, which you mentioned?
Burundi. Oh, I love Burundi. As I mentioned at the beginning, my family comes from Sierra Leone originally before we came to Canada. And Burundi reminded me a lot of that. So it just felt very familiar. It felt very comfortable for me to be there. I really, really enjoyed. We have just finished a 10-year partnership in a community called Kabarore in Burundi. I also had a very sort of personal connection to a family. I'd sponsored one of their children as part of our program. And when we went for the celebration of the end of our 10-year partnership, I met the whole family again. She just had another baby sibling. I met farmers who I'd met on my first visit. There's a woman who I talk about quite often when I'm talking about my visit to Burundi called Eulalie, and who had gone from, you know, in the community where hunger was a regular occurrence every year, they've run out of crops. Through the partnership with FH, learning to store, she had become a leader in her community. She was part of a cooperative. I think of another lady, Adelaide, who I met twice on both of my visits to Burundi. And she had gone from being sort of an impoverished widow, very young widow with children to look after. And she's now, again, leader in her community. She's built a home. She's part of the community that we had done an irrigation project in her community. And she's part of the leadership of that project to ensure that it can be maintained well after we're gone. And it's just been a delight to see the strength, the determination, I think is the better word, the determination of the people of Burundi to better their own lives. And so therefore a privilege for us to be able to participate in that.
And amongst the project, there is one in Burundi that hopefully rings a bell, Amazi Water, Burundi. Mm-hmm. How did you connect with Amazi Water Burundi, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, Amazi Water Burundi. So FH Canada, we do work that's holistic. Amazi Water is laser focused on water, on providing water specifically for Burundi across the country in Burundi. And that is very complementary to the work we do, because when you go into a community, whatever the felt needs of the community are is what you try to facilitate. And very often in Burundi and other countries and other communities where poverty is rampant, water access is a big problem. And so when we were in Burundi at the beginning of this year and then celebrating the end of our partnership with Kibororo and starting to meet with new partners to start working in new communities in Burundi, we then were introduced to Amazi Water. We toured their facilities, and it just became apparent that there's a possibility there for us to do the complementary work, identify communities where water access is needed and where Amazi's expertise can be brought to play as part of a bigger picture of developing socially and economically in communities.
And what is your call to Canadians to support Food for Hunger actions?
Well, we are always, one of our goals at Food for the Hungry Canada, other than working overseas, is to inspire Canadian generosity. We live in a world where we're a global community, and we invite Canadians to join us as journey partners. And our journey partners are group of Canadians, compassionate Canadians, who understand the need for that global neighborliness and make a commitment of giving monthly to Food for the Hungry Canada to ensure that we have the resources to work in the communities and to follow longer the journey with a community over the 10-year period to see how that monthly faithful giving transforms the lives of people in different parts of the world. And so that is something that we are always inviting Canadians to be part of what we're doing as journey partners. And you can find out more about that on our website at fhcanada.org/journey.
And speaking of invitation and invites and happening here in Canada, in Ottawa, on May 25th, there will be an awareness day. And I was wondering if you could share information about what would be the message for Food for Hunger and mm-hmm. and Amazi Water on that day, May 25th, in Ottawa?
Yeah, I think what we'd like to do is just really come together, and we're doing an awareness day. We want to meet with some of our decision makers, MPs, where it's been, the awareness day is being sponsored by Honorable MP Ariel Kayabanga, who is from Burundi, and to just share information about the importance of holistic community development, the importance of listening to local leaders, as well as how water plays a big part in helping communities along their pathway to those more resilient, hopeful futures. And an example I can give you is, you know, a water project we have done in Burundi, in a school in Burundi. And because of the water access, it just sounds very simple, but the first thing that does is it reduces the amount of disease in the community, waterborne diseases. And when you reduce the amount of waterborne diseases, the impact is not just on health. As you can imagine, there's children, adults who lose their lives as a result of these kinds of diseases. But that's, you know, feels like the extreme case. But what that does also is we found in the school in Kabarore is absenteeism went down. And when absenteeism went down, the educational achievement went up. The school in that community, with water being part of the equation and extra training for teachers and starting to train in the local language rather than in English so that children could develop the skills before they were introduced to a second language. A lot of pieces, but water being a key piece for ensuring that people could actually come to school every day. Water access also does things like make it more possible for parents to say, okay, the children can go to school because we don't need them to go and fetch water from a long distance away. And so, yeah, we'll be able to enroll them in school because water access is available here. So that's just the impact on education of water access. And I think a little bit about things like time poverty that goes into having to collect water from a long distance and come back, and how that then frees up the family's time, or often the mother's time, to then do other kind of livelihood activities that enhance the earning power, the market days and all those kinds of things that then link them to market, that improve their livelihoods and the income of the family as a whole, and frees up so much more so that they're beginning to think more into the future than the daily grind.
And lastly, for our last question, Mucho Radio, as I mentioned, is building a living archive of resilience, culture, and transformation. Why do you think it's important for a country like Canada to have a Black radio to share stories from coast to coast?
I think it's important for a country like Canada to hear perspectives of the full range of people who call Canada home. And so I think this provides an avenue for a specific voice to be added to the national conversation, and to bring a bridge voice. So one of the things I believe is that African Canadians like myself and like yourself, we provide sort of a bridge to the culture, the needs, the understanding between Canada and our countries of origin, for example. And I know Black Canadians are more than African Canadians. But this is an example of one of the ways in which having avenues for our voices to be added to the national conversation is important.
Thank you, Muzu Taylor Lewis, for this intervention and this interview. It was a pleasure talking with you, and to know the message of FH, and also the awareness day that will happen later this month.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Thank you for your time.